Amen. So last week we started a series. I don't know what I called it. I think why tongues. But it is much more than tongues. Last week we talked about what tongues are. We also spoke about praying in tongues. We answered how do tongues sound. Remember that? How do tongues sound? We explained 1 Corinthians chapter 14, specifically verse 2. Specifically verse 2, and we saw that tongues don't confer spirituality, okay, and tongues are not meant to sound a specific way, and we also spoke about who can speak in tongues, and we just highlighted a little bit of the benefits of speaking in tongues. Today I want to expand my study a little bit. That's why I hope I needed more time. And still, part B is going to have tongues. But today, we're going to ask and answer the question of, have spiritual gifts ceased? Now, let me start by saying this. When you come to this church, when you come to this meeting, specifically Wednesday, ABC, IOW, whatever teaching meeting we have, I teach you, number one, to have persuasion, but I also teach you so that you can have enough to explain and answer someone. Okay? Now, because every single one of us here has a mandate by God to extend and explain these things to other people. So I deliberately teach you with a defensive approach. A defensive, apologetic approach. I'm not just teaching you so that you know, but I'm teaching you also so that you can teach others. What I've been teaching, or what I'm teaching today, I can explain it to you in 10 minutes and you have no questions. I can explain it to you in 10 minutes and you receive it and you accept it. Albeit, I want to go beyond that. I want to give you enough evidence throughout the scriptures so that also one time when a question is raised to you or you raise it yourself, you have enough evidence and enough confidence to go about these different subjects. So when you're in this class or when you come to church, I know you may like to take notes in a summary. Or you may not even want to take notes. They say, isn't it doing a recap? Isn't it thanks? We have done it in house church. But I know you can tell that there are some things I've told you, like last week, which you had not heard, even if it is the same subject, isn't it? Even if I repeated what I taught last week, you will hear something in a better way. So as you keep hearing, and as you keep noting down, you become, you are better equipped to handle these different things. Amen. So have spiritual gifts ceased. Now, also, partly, there are things I am teaching you that they have not yet become questions to you. There are things I am teaching you, and they are not yet a problem. They are for what? But tomorrow, you will what? You'll need them. Somebody here was called somewhere to teach about the local church. Right? And they are taught about the local church maybe 2 years ago. So they ran back to look for the notebook. When they got the notebook only had scriptures. I know some of you make notes to just write what? You twin, and then, even in school, I used to get in class. Is when they will ask you, Apostle, you said hell was what? I'll say, depart from me. I say, I'll tell you, go and listen to the whole what? So you take notes well. Think about it. The scriptures are written to us by men who paid very good attention in Jesus' meetings. Imagine they did not. Imagine Jeremiah did not write down his book. Where would Daniel have known that they are not supposed to be in captivity at that time? So let's pay attention. So there is a belief, some of you don't know, it is taught out there that the gifts of the Spirit have ceased. There is another sister teaching to that the apostles ended with Jesus, with the apostles, and so on and so forth. So, and these are very popular. In fact, today I was watching a little reel on YouTube, a very popular theologian. You know him, John MacArthur. It was a reel. And some of you have his Bible. And he was saying, it is a disgrace for women to be teaching, to be in the ministry teaching the word of God. He said it is a blatant, a blatant disobedience to the instruction of the scripture. No, you don't know how popular this theologian is. This is a commentator. Now, I have told you about the woman in ministry, right? Right? So you don't just rush and say, what about Mary? Mm-mm. You now get out your scriptures. You have to defend twice. You have to get evidence of women used by God in the scriptures. Then secondly, you get the scriptures they are using to say women are not supposed to be in ministry and exegetically explain them. That's how you give a defense for the gospel. That's how you teach the word of God. So again, some of you, that is not an issue. Right? But you may go to a certain place to do evangelism and they tell you women are not supposed to. So sometimes we handle questions perhaps you have not yet asked yourself. Because right now, maybe your issue is not that. Your issue is how to learn how to pray. Amen. But you will not always be like that. And maybe some of us will come from maybe ministry, fellowships, our popular pastors are always just giving us hope. 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 Isn't it? Hope. 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 You will be big tomorrow. You will climb that wall. You will get that promotion the whole year. So, the whole gospel has been made you-centric. You-centric. So sometimes we carry such expectations even as we go into, church or stuff like that. So where does this come from? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. I'm going to explain 1 Corinthians chapter 13 today. Who is happy? Maybe you don't know 1 Corinthians 13. So you're not sure whether you should be happy. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8, he says, charity never faileth. Do you have a charity here? But whether there be prophecies, they shall fall. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. So this is the argument that Paul wrote and says that charity here, the word agape in the Greek, A-G-A-P-E, it's a word for love. He says, love never fails, but when it comes to prophecies, they shall fall. When it comes to tongues, they shall cease. So somebody says, tongues ceased. When it comes to knowledge, it shall vanish away. Again, some of you may not know what is called the social gospel. You know a social gospel? It's just love. Right? Even pagans love that one. They say, if Christians just what? Love people. Get your man and give to the street children. Just love. Right? Now somebody has said, just love people. Because tongues cease, prophecies fail, knowledge passes away. But love never fails. So you can love a person until they go to hell. You know that, right? Love without the gospel cannot save anyone. Now, you know, in fact, when we say love, we actually mean our definition of love. For instance, for me, if you told me you love me, it must have something like ribs. You know, like, so everybody can define love a certain way. My brother here, if you give him a cup of spiced milk tea, you are loving. So when we say love people, that is all they need. If you don't contextualize that, people can get it wrongly. And sometimes a church can decide to say, we want to reach out to people. You know what they mean by reaching out to people? They collect money. They buy blankets, they buy food, they buy water, they take it and they give it out to people. And they just say, we are sharing the love of Jesus. You can leave a man with a blanket, with sugar. If he dies that day, he will go to hell without the blanket and this. Charity is not love. I mean, this charity. I'm not meaning the King James. Yeah? It's not what? So don't mix those two. I saw, you know, COVID time, they were saying, where are churches? You know, or people were giving money. So churches, some churches were on pressure. So they got money, they called the reporters, did a photo op, and they gave, maybe Imited Church say we are giving to Intermediate. Meanwhile, Imited, I did do it, but you know, somebody, so let me use the one where they won't attack me. So Imited Church gets 20 million, we send for COVID. But if, meanwhile, we have a worker whose landlord is telling him, get out. And he calls Musumbaba Angoba. The pastor will say, let us pray. Let me help you. I know some of you feel guilty. Let me help you. See, when the Bible is saying you give to the poor, 99% they be saying the poor in church. This one, the poor you give on the street, on the what, which is not bad. That one you're just nice. The biblical one which has a reward is when there is a poor brother in church, a widow in church, those are the ones you give. Go and look at Acts, go and look at Timothy. In fact, Paul said, where were Timothy? Don't bring any widow into the number. In other words, don't write them as widows until they are 60. Can you imagine? First of all, they are what? They are 60. Secondly, they must be known for good works and they must be helping the young ladies. Which means you may be 60, but you don't have what? A house church. You are what? He said, these ones who are 50, they may remarry. They may wax wanton. Can you find me that text? Let's read it. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Somebody thinks I'm making this up. So I see some of you feel guilty. Let me help you with a word. Whereas when your brother in church is hungry, you say, let us, and you feel no guilt. Churches had not paid their staff, but they had given money for COVID relief. That is hypocrisy. Hypo who? Let's start from here. If any widow, where does it start from? Let's start from verse 1. Can we read direct NLT? So that we go straight. Never speak harshly to an older man, but appeal to him respectfully, as you would to your own father. Talk to young men as you would to your own brothers. Treat older women as you would your mother, and treat younger women with all purity as you would your own sisters. And this is basic courtesy. That's why sometimes people who are elderly in church, you call them mama, you know. They are also sisters, but you just want to. And I think for me, I do it, right? I say mama. Right? Not because they are my mama. Okay? Take care of any widow who has no one else to take care of. That means if she has a son, who is able to take care of her, the son? But if she has children, okay, or grandchildren, their first responsibility is to show godliness at home and repay their parents by taking care of them. This is something that pleases. Now, a true widow, let's define a widow. A woman who is truly alone in this world has placed her hope in God. Wabata jam overnight, or you see widow. Yes. Hey, by the way, where am I? It is here. Yes. I think the scripture is in my heart. Has placed, she prays night and day, asking God for somwega irizi. Ask your neighbor, you a widow? But the widow who lives only for pleasure on TikTok is spiritually, even while she, give these instructions to the church so that no one will be open to. Those are the. So you cannot bully us. You reach five people with the word. One time, there's a brother who had an issue with us. A widow who is put on the list for support must be a woman who is at least. And was faithful. Which means Pastor Ronald knows that she was what? She may be as she's the reason the husband. She must be well respected by everyone because of the good she has. Has she brought up her children well? Has she been kind to strangers and served other believers? Which means she's also a believer. Has she helped those who are in trouble? Has she always been ready to do? Katifu wajamu wido tuandika gune tutikinga. Is she 60? Does she have it? And then we reward you out of 100. Hey, Bayanga! The younger widows should not be on the list. Because their physical desires will overpower their devotion to Christ. And they will want to. It is okay to want to. Or to want to marry. Those desires are not evil. The desires for marriage are not what? Next. Then they would be guilty of breaking their previous. Kwe gamburi wida inava yunaka. She's saying, I will not go back to. I'm just going to serve the Lord like Anna. Look what? Anna is in look what? Anna the prophetess. Who just was there to pray for the coming of the Lord. From the time she was a young widow until she became an old, she was in the temple. Praise the Lord. So you people, I don't even know why I came here. But you have learned. So let's go. I don't know if we do that. They spend their time gossiping from house to house, meddling in other people's and talking about things they. Now imagine you are not yet married and you are like this. If you are like this and are not even yet married, don't go house to house meddling. Hallelujah. Mind your. Tell your neighbor, mind your. You know, there is a lot of business to mind, Your own. Yeah. Okay, let's go back. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8, they say, prophecies, love never fails. Where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Tongues, they shall cease. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Then he says something very significant. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. So now we're going to deal with this statement. We know in part and we prophesy in. What does that mean? So we have prophecy in part and knowledge in part. Why does he say this? Now, just like many other chapters in the Bible, to start from verse 8 will be an injustice to the text that Paul was trying to say here. So what do we do? Let's go back to verse 1. And from verse 1, we'll build it from there. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. So, today what we intend to do is to come up with an understanding of prophecy in part and knowledge in part, and to overall answer the question, have the gifts of the Spirit ceased? Have tongues passed away? Or will they pass away? Have prophecies ceased, and so on and so forth? Are we together with our purpose for today? Wonderful. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. Though I speak in tongues of men and of angels, and have not love or charity, I am become as a sounding brass or as a tinkling cymbal. So we're going to do verse by verse. Now, do you see this thing on the drum? Pastor Victor, this is a cymbal. This one. Okay? Aha. So Paul is going to use that figure, that thing. You know? Do you know how it sounds? You don't hit. This is a crash. I cannot assure you. Okay. Now imagine, so that is it. So, do you know the other one is what? Brass. Have you seen the acoustic, the brass band, eh? The one when you are in primary, when you are doing sports day, that thing was nice. Anybody? Some people. You also? You are too young. Do they still do it? So, we used to march on that band in our school days so it has that clanging cymbal. So he says, if I speak with tongues of men and angels, but I don't have love, I have been reduced to a noisy cymbal. Okay? Now, the word love is going to be predominant in the whole chapter. Verse 2, verse 3, verse 4, verse 8, verse 13, because this is descriptive of this kind of love and what it does. Okay? But we're going to see what context. So he says, I'll become a sounding brass. It means that word sounding means I give a loud noise or a loud sound. Now, it does not mean that it is possible for me to speak tongues of men, tongues of angels. Okay? He's not saying you can speak tongues of men and tongues of angels and you are only making noise. But what does he mean? We're going to see in the context. Let's look at verse 2 and I explain to you. And though I have a gift of prophecy and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can move mountains and have not love, I am nothing. Now, again, these are not verses used for someone and you come and tell them, the Bible says you may have all prophecy. You know we like that, right? You may be speaking all tongues. You may have all knowledge. You may understand all mysteries. You may be able to prophesy to the third heaven. But do you have love? Also, you start to say, where is love? Now, notice those words he uses there. He uses prophecies, mysteries, knowledge, gift of prophecy, understanding mysteries, knowledge. In the first verse, you also have tongues. Now, I want you to notice something. Prophecy is the Greek word prophetia. 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 Okay, that word is used in chapter 12 a lot. I'm going to read there, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8,
1 Corinthians 14:6 and 14:12. 1 Corinthians 12:10, 13:8, 14:6 and 14:22. That word for prophecy. Then knowledge is a knowing. Now, if you notice something, these are things that he had talked about in chapter 12. Okay? Because chapter 13 verse 1 starts with though. So chapter 13 verse 1 in itself shows us that there is a discussion that is in continuation. So we can go back as far as even farther than chapter 12, but chapter 12 can give us a good context. Because chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14 elaborate in detail on spiritual gifts. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 1, it says, concerning spirituals or spiritual gifts, I would not have you ignorant. Okay? Concerning spiritual gifts, I would not have you ignorant. Which implies that a person, a believer, can be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. So in chapter 12, he begins to introduce the subject of spiritual gifts. Then when you get to verse 8, let me start from verse 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. One of the things we highlighted last week on Wednesday, we said that tongues, spoke a little bit about interpretation of tongues, is a faculty in the Spirit, by the Spirit, from the Spirit. Isn't it? So he says, the manifestation, the phanerousis, the full disclosure, the emptying of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Then he says in verse 8, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Can we read together? To another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Which implies that the Spirit that gives the word of wisdom is the Spirit that gives the word of... It's not saying the Spirit can give one person word of wisdom and give another person word of knowledge. Remember, we are dealing with a manifestation of the Spirit. The word manifestation means a full closure. When something is manifested, manifestation is not a process. I'm not saying manifestation. Not funny, okay. I'm saying manifestation. Manifestation is not gradual. Manifestation is a full disclosure. So he's saying in that full disclosure, which is in the Spirit, you have word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith by the same Spirit, verse 9, to another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another, working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, diverse kinds of tongues, to another, interpretation of tongues. Then he says in verse 11, but all these worketh that one again, and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now, I've explained this before. It's not my purpose today, because it will derail us a lot. Okay, so it's basically saying, these gifts are in the Spirit. So, he's talking about the different expressions of the gifts in the same Spirit. Amen. So, the same Spirit has these expressions. This is why he's going to now start talking about a physical body. You see? Now, you know, I cannot say this is the body of Mr. Marino. This is not the body of Brother Marino. This is the hand. The hand with the head, with the chest, with the stomach, with the legs, with everything makes the... The hand alone is not the body. Amen. The ear alone is not the body. So that's the explanation which is there. Can the ear say, can I be alone? Can the hand say, can I be the... No, he's trying to say,
that the gifts in the Spirit is using an analogy of the parts of a physical body, that they work together to make the body. Okay? Now, let me jump to verse 28. I've told this before. So let's run quickly because I want to come to verse 13. Now, God has set first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Then he says, are all apostles, are all prophets? 1 Corinthians 12:29. Please open your Bible. Please, read what I'm reading. So he says, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret. Now he's not saying that the people don't do all these things, or the people are not these things. Again, I've told this in detail. I don't know what this series was. What he's talking about is spiritual gifts. So he's asking, are all the spiritual gifts tongues? You get it? Are all the gifts prophecy? No. Are all the gifts discerning of spirits? No. Amen. That is what he is talking about. That's why in verse 31, what does he say after verse 30? But covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet I show you a more excellent way. So it is gifts, not people. Context, just read context. The issue is gifts, not people. Then he says, now, earnestly, but covet earnestly the best gifts or the choicest graces. Give me Amplified. I think that's what Amplified says. 1 Corinthians 12:31. But earnestly desire and zealously cultivate. See that? So in that desire, you're actually cultivating. So when you're desiring spiritual gifts, you are not trying to get them from outside. You are going to cultivate the best gifts and graces. The higher gifts and choicest graces. Now, you can ask yourself, what are they? What are they? The answer is what you have just been reading. You see, when you're reading the Bible, and you ask yourself a question, don't come out of the Bible to answer it. Don't. Because it's very easy now to reach verse 30 and say, God, I desire the choices. What are they? Okay. Higher gifts, and yet I will show you a still more excellent way. One that is better by far and the highest of them all. Now, this guy steals for you exams and says, love. Because 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 is going to say, though I speak. Come on! Are you seated with your Bibles? So we are coming from that discussion. Now again, if you have not read the whole book of Corinthians, you may still be angers. Why is he telling them to desire the choicest gifts in an excellent way? Because what Paul is teaching here, Paul is not teaching that abandon these gifts and seek love. No! Paul has just taught that there is something called the manifestation of the Spirit given to every man to profit withal. Before that, he has said concerning these gifts of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:1, I don't want you to be ignorant. Then you continue in verse 3 and verse 4, you say, I tell you that no one can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Spirit. In other words, what he's saying, the very fact that you have said that Jesus is Lord is because of the Spirit of God in you. And because the Spirit of God is in you, you have the manifestation of the Spirit. So what we are talking about is not a seeking of gifts from out, but an understanding of the operation of the gifts. That's why don't be ignorant. Okay? So in verse 2 or 3 says, I would have you know. Because the cure to ignorance is a knowledge.
Right? How many of you started to prophesy when you knew what prophecy is? Now let me tell you, you did not receive ability to prophesy when you knew what prophecy was. Take me back to this Amplified. You cultivated prophecy when you knew what prophecy was. Now again, someone will say, okay, what is going on? Now you ask yourself, what is going on? Because you have not gone back to see why Paul was writing to Corinth these things. Now let's not even first go there. Let's just even go back to chapter 11. Do you know what is in chapter 11? What is in chapter 11 is the communion table. What is in chapter 11 was believers coming together and some people are acting like gluttons. What is happening in chapter 11 is a failure to discern the Lord's body. So you say, for this reason, many are sick and many are weak and many do fall and die. So he said, they have failed to discern the Lord's body. Then in chapter 12, he explains the Lord's body by using an analogy of a physical body. Hallelujah! So he's going to correct a failure to discern the body in chapter 11, which has been a failure in the whole book. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 1. I could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes. Why? Open. Why? So this is the issue at Corinth that the writer is writing to solve. When you are in Kampala, for you just read, you just went to chapter 14 and you saw tongues. But there is a process by process. Isn't it? And so I told you one of the things you have in mind when you are studying the Bible is you must sit where the original audience sat. Because if you don't receive what the audience received, you cannot understand it accurately. Can we see that? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you are not able to bear it, neither are you able now. Why? For you are yet carnal. For whereas there is what? Come on, verse 3. There is what? There is what? There is among you envy and strife and divisions. Are you not yet carnal and workers? So there is division. There is strife. There is carnality. The church at Corinth was divided. The issue was not seeing spiritual gifts. The issue was that they were functioning in spiritual gifts with their division. Yes, it happens. You can come to church. You know, like if you're not well taught, you can sit in church and you have an ethnic. You have a tribalistic thing. And even the way you give your prophecy, you can give them tribalistic. You don't prophesy on Katerega. You prophesy on Muhanguzi. And you tell him, and I see you're a victor. So when people are not taught, that's what you find in church. You find in churches, and there are class systems. There are people who are rich. They talk. Then those who are poor, they are intercessors. Now let me tell you. Sometimes churches form these groups unknowingly. For instance, let me just give an example. If you have a church and you create a business group, you have already chased people like who now? Who are not business? They can't come in your fellowship. But in that fellowship, it's for only what?
entrepreneur. So that's why we sometimes have to be very careful with some of the groups we. You may be there when all your friends in church started to your level. Right? Am I lying? And they have accent like you. Or they are white. So you're already walking in division and you don't know. But you can teach a message and people find no need to separate themselves. Sometimes the other people separate themselves. There's a fellowship I went to some few years back. I won't mention it. I entered the hall. I said, "Aye!" It was like I was entering. Anyway, it was in a hotel. It was like I was entering. You enter the place, you feel like, ah. I said, there are people who can't come here. They will judge themselves. Even where the hotel is, it has already secluded some people. You know. There are people who have told themselves God has called them to minister to the rich. Yes. Can you save a kororo? They don't talk to anyone who doesn't have money because they are kings. They have scriptures. God has called me to reign. Heaven has streets of gold. You know you can back up your covetousness with scriptures. So they don't talk to anyone else. They are cool. Right? Okay, so this church had divisions. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5, he says, "In everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, so that you come behind in no gift." Verse 7, "waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So the issue at Corinth was not the absence of gifts, but in knowledge to operate those gifts in unity. Okay? So that's the background. Because there is division, even when they were doing ministry, they were doing it in a divisive way. If you're a man of God and you say, for people to see me, you must pay 100K to add the what? The interest. You have already said who you will never minister to. Isn't it? You're saying those who can't afford 100,000, God does not want to minister to. That one is a poor man and does not understand the gospel. Praise the God. So is that clear? So that's the background. So when you go to chapter 13 now and it says, prophecy, tongues without love. Can you now see? So he's saying, you guys are doing tongues, you're doing prophecy, you know, but there is no love. It's nothing. He's not saying, take love and leave gifts. He's saying, can we have these gifts operate in love? Can you go back? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Hallelujah. Is that a good background? So when you're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, especially the way Paul starts, Paul is writing poetry. Now, again, when we see these things in the Bible, many of us did literature. All of us did literature. Even if you stopped in S2, like me, in literature. We all did. And we also use literal speaking in our everyday language. I had a good example. Where is it gone? Now, what Paul is writing here is poetry. If you are... I need the proper word to use. Let me use the people who are married. But if you're a gentleman and you want to marry someone, you know that what they use. I'm not going to use it. When you want someone to say yes, you know the single word that can mean all those words. You can go to them and say, maybe these days it's not there. Even if Lake Victoria dries up, my love will still remain full. Even if all something happens. Right? What other vibes? What other words do they use? I can't live without. Can't breathe without you. Without you. You know, when I was still courting my wife, I used to turn worship songs into. Now, like that one, I can sing it to her. You know, it's for Dr. Tumi, yeah? You were the air that I breathe. You know that one? You people have ever been in love? I had some. I've never said that word. You're not saying it. So if you wrote something like that, now you're not saying Lake Victoria is going to dry and your love will remain. Isn't it? That is poetry. Now, even when you're married, Reverend Shegu says that in marriage is the only place where God allows you to lie to your wife, and it is okay. For instance, when you tell your wife you're the most beautiful woman, and every husband here has made that what? It is not a lie. If you're married, it is not what? It is the truth. In fact, if you're a man here and you are going to survive in marriage, you must learn poetry. You must learn how to use figures of speech and exaggerations. If they ask you how I look, and in your head, God leaves you, and you say, so you can give a political answer. You say, you look wonderful. In fact, if you added or removed or changed, I hope my wife never listens to this. There's a hairstyle I used to like. It took me months to suggest it to my wife. Because I kept wondering, she may ask me, why did you? So I was asking myself, who does this one remind? So every time you say, I'm going to do my hair, this is some time back, I would look for an opportunity to forward the what? And one day, I got the vocabulary to use to tell her about that. That's time. And I love it. By the way, I also heard you telling your wife the day after, like, but you say it like a mtiga. You're supposed to. Amen. You have to be poetic. You have to use a lot of figures of speech in marriage. Am I lying? You know, it's very good to say, you know, you can't, if you go and tell your wife you look tired. Anyway, moving on to 1 Corinthians. So Paul was using poetry. So they are not tongues of angels, and you know. So this is just exaggeration. These are what we call a figure of speech called a hyperbole. A hyperbole is an exaggeration. It's even if a camel goes through the eye of a needle, it can't happen. Some of you can't put a thread through. Now imagine a camel. You can't put a thread through. I'm not going to put a thread through the eye of a needle. Yeah. So imagine a camel. So verse 3 also continues, even though I give, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I have given my body to be burned, I have not love, it profiteth me nothing. So, If we're going contextually, that there are these expressions I can have, but if I am not doing them in love, they have no benefit, they have no value. Okay. Now, some things I'm going to skip because of time. I just want to get to the point. When he uses the word body there, he means himself. Himself. But even if I offer myself as a sacrifice, outside love it is nothing. I'm not even a martyr. I'm just somebody who died to prove a point. Now also you must notice this, that this thing is twofold. Now don't think about it as to prophesy when I am feeling love. You get it? But I have to prophesy in love. Okay, the prophecy is coming out of love. It's not prophecy with emotion. You get it? Now, it's also not prophecy which is hiding because you are walking in love. No. Love here has an agape sense to it. We are dealing both with the source, okay, but also walking in that source. Because if we have the church at Corinth as our case study, we will understand that they were operating these things, but outside an understanding of that source. Now, humanism will also do those things when, for instance, for them they are completely don't have a source. For instance, Bill Gates, I think his goal is to give 90% of his income. Okay? So that is, he's giving a lot of money, but he's not born again. So that one is outside love. Now, for him, he will say he's emotionally touched by the world, so he's giving. So to another people, he's doing it because he loves people. But to God, that is outside love. Now, secondly, you will find a believer who is born of love, but they are flowing in the gifts of the Spirit in pride. So of them, they are also ignorant of the source of the gift. So they are also operating outside love. Do you get the distinction? Yeah. We just need to clarify that. Okay. So verse 4, he starts to talk about love. Love suffers long. Let's read this in our NLT. We're going to read up to verse 8. Now these, what can I call them? The character of love. Love is patient and kind. Now, we are going to think about it two ways. Let's think about it in the operation, in the gifts of the Spirit. But also, let's think about it in the work of the Christian. Also, let's think about it as the love of God, what it has. Is that okay? Because all those three come from the same Spirit. Can I say that again? You may have skipped you. We're going to think about this as the character of the love of God, one. Secondly, we're going to think about it as the love work of the Christian, two. Thirdly, we're going to think about it as operation of the gifts of the Spirit and the characters that surround that operation. Amen? Okay, so we're saying love is patient and kind. In all the three, love is not jealous or boastful or proud. Please, let's deal with pride. Pride is like the worst sin. It is the only sin that sets you against God, if you're a believer. Because it says God resists the proud. With pride, the devil doesn't even have to deal with you. God himself, you set yourself against God. So sometimes you find, especially people who are very gifted, and you can be here ministering in pride. Now you're ministering the gifts of the Spirit, but from a root of pride. Can I go deep? You see, I told you, there is nobody in the world who is sharp like me in the prophetic. Go around. find out, is there anybody who has the level of, who is Julia? Julia. Owengo mayaba ya kubieda. But in what? He's operating the gifts of the Spirit, but in? Right, it's a very dangerous place to be. It's not rude, it does not demand its own way. Amen. It is not irritable. Everybody say amen. Love is not? You, I hope you are microscoping yourself. Now, don't be looking at the person who you think should love you like this. Look at you. Uh-huh. Love does not keep records of? Nkusonye nene ruli. Don't keep a diary of. There are people who have diaries. Let me not go there. I don't know how I can write my problems down so that I meditate on them. But also I leave evidence for other generations to see how broken I was. But that's me. You can write. That's okay. Every year you have what? It does not rejoice about injustice. No, it does not rejoice about injustice. But rejoices when the truth wins out. Sister Nora, love never says there is no smoke without fire. You know, believers like that statement. Some believe, there is no smoke without. You wait when the smoke is coming from your side. And you find Christians, they are the ones who have first accepted. No proof, nothing. They say, you know, there are some people I rebuked strongly sometimes. And they gave me that no smoke, no sense. I told you one day, the smoke will be coming from your house. It will be from electricity, but people will think you are. So love does not say there is no smoke without. In fact, if I was writing a translation, I would put, love does not say. Love never gives up. Hallelujah. Amen. Repeat these words after me. Love never gives up on its church. Love never gives up on gathering. Even if you are going through a lot. You are the ones who have repeated, okay? Love never loses faith. Love always believes the best. Amen. You know what is interesting? Where people are not supposed to believe the best, where they are not supposed to endure, is where they put endurance. Man of God, have you ever noticed? Let me bring it in amplified. You are pretending like you have not heard. A person can be in a wrong relationship. Man of God, hold it. With a non-believer. Let me even add it. And that is where they will choose to. That is why they will choose to never give up. They are not married. I said, Pastor, nobody is perfect. Somebody once told me, he only takes 2 bottles. I said, hey. It's okay. They will multiply. It's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time. He's not a believer like that. But every evening before we go for a phone, we pray together. I said, I've already created for you a seat for counseling. We'll be telling you, Guma. Let's believe God. Whereas you are supposed to believe earlier. So sometimes people apply these verses in the wrong. And I know, and they say, no, I know it's Musa, but even Moses. Hallelujah. There's a man of God back in the days, used to pastor very many campus students. So you stand in a church
And I said, there are some of you, you are in wrong relationships. I'm going to speak as a man of God. Be chucked. Like Ajuanga Terence. Be chucked. When I was just like, Papa! Papa! Papa,
It's okay. Bas.
I'm a bit chucked. You are receiving a utterance, one utterance time. Gawaz Bida. Bita. All those long relationships, I'm canceling them in the name of Jesus.
Yeah, they have never taken your daughter. You don't know how it feels. When a wolf comes and takes away your sheep. Amen. Let's leave that one.
So he gives love, and he was talking about earlier that there are these things that people can do without love. Now let's go back to verse 3 and I show you something. So, we're going to deal with knowledge without love. What does knowledge without love mean? Because even if I have all knowledge, and no love. Now, earlier, Paul had referenced this in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Okay? He had also talked about knowledge puffing up. Now, remember he says, love is not puffed up. Right? Love is not puffed up. But he says you can have all the knowledge, but without love, and it will profit nothing. So what kind of knowledge is that? 1 Corinthians chapter 8, let's read an example. There are very many verses, but I won't read all of them. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love, Eddie. Again, this is not a contrast of you either have love or you have knowledge. Okay? You're going to see what he's talking about. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. If any man think that he knows anything, he does not know anything as much as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning, therefore, eating of those things which are offered in sacrifice to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other but God. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many, lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge, for some, the conscience of the idol, and to this hour it is as the thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we any better, neither if we eat not, are we any worse? But take heed lest by any means the liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. Now verse 10, let's slow down and read together. For if any man see that which has knowledge sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. Verse 12. But when you sin so against the brethren, and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat makes my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. So we're going to deal with knowledge, love in knowledge, and knowledge without love. So let me paint for you what has just happened. So, in Corinth, there are many pagan gods. There are people who have knowledge, there are people who don't have knowledge. There are people who came from that world perhaps, or are from that world, and they recognize that there is such thing as an idol. So, if meat is cut and put before an idol, in their conscience, they are saying this food is offered to an idol. Paul is saying, but you know, for us, an idol is nothing. We know there is one God, right? One Lord Jesus Christ. So for him, in other words, there is a group of people that understand idols are Nothing. So for them, they can eat any meat. If they find it at a Dua, if they find it at a Lumbe, they can eat meat. But there are people whose conscience is defiled. Now, if that person, not conscience defiled, who is weak in knowledge, who doesn't have that knowledge, if they saw me eat that meat, they can be offended. So me, I can make them sin. By walking in a liberty of a knowledge I have, I can make another brother sin. Let me bring it practically. Because you're looking at meat. There is knowledge you may have. For instance, some of you, there are songs you may be listening to. Maybe you're listening to them as a pastor. Right? But if a church member sees you when you have put that song on your status, they're going to say, ah, pastor has put I'm eating a satchula. So we're on a road trip. Let me give myself as an example. We're on a road trip with Brother Marino. We're going somewhere. Every time I'm with him, we've been together for a while. I play for him deep worship songs. Deep. He leaves the car when he has ascended. He comes out when he's uttering tongues. So we are going far. So I played... I'm forgetting my guy. I played... what's the guitarist? I played for him Kenneth Mugabe. One of the most gifted. So he was saying, I've never heard this song. I said, one of those songs was our wedding. Said, you didn't dance to Sinach? No. It's a wedding. Now, there is a knowledge I have. But, you know, I've not used my knowledge to stumble you on my status. Have I stumbled you? But some of you are stumbling with your status and your liberty. So if you put something on your status and it causes another person to sin, that is your sin. Put 11 there. These people think I'm joking. When I was still staying in Nigeria, I used to go a lot to Max Lounge and La Venti before they were overtaken. And we'd go there and watch football, and I take my two Coca-Colas. True story, and I leave. So, one time, I think I was at Max Lounge. Now, if you already know these places, there's already... So we're there, we just finished watching a match. I think it started late, 10 p.m. maybe, 9 p.m. Champions League. And then there was a live band. So I was still there with my friends. And someone said, I can come and ask you, Apostle, call out your name. Also you asking, boy, what are you? So I started to watch football at home. Well, I think now it's been a year plus. Okay. Because I don't want anyone to be stumbled by my liberties. One time someone phoned me coming from a cinema. The thing is this. You know, even my friends who have grown up with me, these ones, they think every time I be studying the Bible or I'm praying. Shame on all of you. If you think that is all I do. People can think, Apostle, you like basketball? Like, aren't I a person? Let me help you. We are men. We are what? We like sports. Pastor likes wrestling. I never understand how a man of faith can watch violence.
Amen.
So, but you learn that because the other people looking at you, you realize, you know what? My liberty can cause another person to offend. Yet I have knowledge. And what I'm doing by knowledge, it is not what? It's not a sin. But if I find a disciple saying, no, 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 those are red devils, I'll take off the t-shirt. So that I what? I preach to them. How can a man of God support red devils? Because for him, he thinks devils are black with the horns. And they are in hell. You know what devil means. But you know what devil is in Greek? Eh? Oppose. So whatever you oppose, you become. So. Diabolos. So this is a case of knowledge without. So this person is puffed up. You know, maybe you can have knowledge and just come, you go to Eastern Uganda, you're wearing chains and jeans and you're chewing. So praise God. Hallelujah. And you have put tattoos all over yourself because you know tattoos don't commend you to God, or they don't uncommend you. So you what? You ink your whole body up. And when you reach someone, he's looking at their tattoo, they are looking at the message, the tattoo, until they finally ask you, na ye? Bible ite gana. Let me tell you. You find unbelievers quoting for you scriptures of denial. Always they know them. Sister, what? But sister, the Bible says women shouldn't wear trousers. So don't go with trousers to evangelism. You are going to preach another message. Where what will not cause? Back then their haircuts I used to cut. Nice ones. Now I even feel like it's a sin. But after Christmas I'll try again. When I'm not coming to church. So that you also don't sit and look. A person I am again. You know, a person can think you have fallen in 1 week. Never know where is that. I mean, so knowledge without, rather you have your knowledge but you're not exercising love. So you cause other people to stumble. So this is for believers. Now there is another one for unbelievers. Where a believer can cause a non-believer to stumble. Yeah? Yes. A believer can cause. One of the ways my mother used to blackmail me, I never used to like doing dishes. In fact, I never used to like doing any chore. I hear people say, for me, I like to mop. I don't understand. You know, there are people who have chosen, like, me, I can wash the whole day. Have you found people like that? Me, give me clothes, I will wash. For me, I never liked any. I did every chore because there's nothing I could do. I'm honest. So if my mother told me, do the dishes one time, do the dishes two times, do the dishes three times, then she will pull out a card. Can I go and leave locally? Then I will go and I do the what? Dishes can make a person not enter what? Let's read it. First Corinthians chapter 10. This is long. I won't read all of it. Put NLT direct from 23 so that we read quickly. Now, from 23. You say, I am allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. You say, I am allowed to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. Hallelujah. Uh-huh. Don't be concerned for your own good, but for the good of. Yes, your skirt may have no problem for. You can say, Borachi want to know leader. Borachi there, Nankavira. Don't start from there. Jambali de one way. And sometimes why you have arguments. For them, why are they looking? The sisters back then would argue, why are they looking at us with lust? The men are saying,
you are wearing things that are causing lust. Sister, for you, why are you lusty? You need what? Salvation. So there was a draw.
I would rather we take this approach. Let's go back and read it again. Don't be concerned for your wife. Whatever. For you. Okay, nangi. But namwe. Kumanga uri nayambala jini ne muntu nuliranga agudi.
Even my own people, Brother Marino himself was going like, Apostle.
So for his sake, I put on what? Amen. So that you are not. But if I put on what I was comfortable with, do you know what I like putting on? That is what I put on for a long time. I have shorts which even reach here. You know the good shorts are supposed to be above the knees. For the men. Yeah? But now, I fear to put on shorts even to go to the shop. Because your consciousness has affected me. Okay, don't be concerned of any good, but for the good of? So you may eat any meat that is sold in a marketplace without raising questions of conscience. For the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. If someone who isn't a believer asks you home for dinner, accept the invitation if you want to. Now, eat whatever is offered to you without raising questions of what? But suppose someone tells you, by the way, whatever to get it, this meat was offered to an idol. If a person tells you, Ochimanyinti, that meat was, don't eat it. Now, when they say that, it means they have a conscience of an idol. Even if you didn't have it, it's like they are telling you to see you, a Christian, what will you? You don't understand. Let me come back home. If you go to a party and they give you a glass of tangala, they give you a drink in a glass, and then the offerer tells you that is wine. They go ahead to add that is alcoholic. For their conscience, don't what? Now you are in your head asking me, is wine wrong? Is that where the problem is? We are rewriting this one in our context. Now for me, I don't take wine. Even if it is negative percent alcohol, I don't take. Maybe I have a weak conscience. I know people here who do. I have rebuked some of them. But they have knowledge. So, okay. So imagine also you went with someone. They tell you that one is Tasca Multi Light. Is it Tasca Light? Don't eat it out of consideration. For the conscience. For the out of the consideration of the conscience of the one who told. Some of you, even the way you hold soda bottles. I think, pastors, we should start doing spot checks again. Pastor, you know spot checks? Why just visit? Like we are here today, I will say, let's go. Let's go. You have a jet, what? Spot check. Aba na bolu soba kula kochi. Spot check. Ingiro sanga brother mai konga etupa zikola wa. You know, apostle, my friends were here. They left.
It's okay.
The problem is some of you think you can shock us.
Then you say, it might not matter. It might not be a matter of conscience for you, but it is for the other person. For why should my freedom be limited? I'm under grace. We're under grace. Paul told Timothy, take a little alcohol. One might take a call, eat a one.
Liter is what? 4 bottles?
We are under grace. Jesus turned water into wine. You even know where it is. John chapter 2. You say, for why should my freedom be limited by what someone thinks? I don't care what anybody thinks.
That is not a Christian statement.
I don't care.
Walk in love. For us, we care. Amen. We know you like Zex Viranjiranj, but forgive co us.
Hallelujah. Zex what? I like that name. I found out the other time.
If I can thank God for the food and I enjoy it, why should I be condemned for eating it? Isn't it?
What do you do?
So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So this is now knowledge without love. So you can stumble someone
without. Pastor Ron had shared with us a funny story yesterday. I can't say it. But it is a case of having knowledge without love.
So what does that mean? It means that I may know something, but because I want to walk in love with other people, I can let my knowledge go. Like last week I told you, if I find people who like to pray for food, I'll pray. If I find a meeting, an office meeting where they begin with prayer and close in prayer, I'll pray. But I know you don't have, that is a business. You don't have to begin the meeting in prayer and close in prayer. But for them, I cannot be there and say, no, the scripture does not say, you flow. If people say, let's bless the food, you what? You bless the food. Okay? If they want to say, God, we want to come against anything that has poisoned the food, you say, amen. Amen. Don't use your knowledge to put people down. Amen. Or to stumble others. Use your knowledge to edify people. Hallelujah. So let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let me just rush. So now, we have seen knowledge without love. What is prophecy without love? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. Follow after love. He had spoken about prophecy and desire spiritual gifts, rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaks in unknown tongues speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he that prophesies speaks unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. But he that prophesies edifies the church. I would that you all speak with tongues, that rather you prophesied. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret. Except he interpret that the church may receive edification. So now he's not saying stop to speak in tongues or stop to prophesy. When he says follow that first word, it means it is a practice. Practice. In 1 Corinthians he used the word covet, earnestly desire. Now he's saying follow, which means this is a practice of the things of the Spirit. But a practice of the things of the Spirit in love. Sometimes it may mean I must ask myself a question. Why am I prophesying? Why do I want to work miracles? Why am I flowing with gifts of healing? Let it flow from a heart that loves. Now, if it is prophecy in love, from what you read there, it means it must edify, comfort, or exhort. Or if it is tongues in love, it means I must interpret the tongues so that the other person may understand what I'm saying. That's what we did last week, right? So if I pray for someone in tongues, especially if they don't know tongues, and I just say, Levro, Pukati, Levisa, Liz, Evri, Bukusi, Labakata, they'll just say, wow, this guy is uber spiritual. I wish I could. I say, oh, Brakiva. I can't even tell them, you know tongues are sweet. I remember when the Lord first talked to me to speak in tongues. I was there. I just taken 10 years fasting. The other person just say, wow. But what if you spoke your tongues and then after you interpreted for them and blessed them? So that is what now you are prophesying. So you are edifying. So you have used your tongues to say something that will build someone, something that will encourage someone, something that will exhort someone. Therefore, you have flowed in a spiritual gift in love. Again, so it's not saying do not stop to prophesy, but it's saying, or do not stop to speak in tongues, but it's saying, let me do it in. So if I'm doing it in love, the other person is being edified, is being built up. And last week we saw that tongues are for edification. Now, they can edify the individual that speaks them. If they are to edify a hearer, they must be interpreted. Praise the God. So when we say pray with your neighbor, pray for your neighbor, we want you to edify you. Some of you say pray for your neighbor, you hold hands and do like this. And then we say 1 minute. Coca-Cola, CBD, popcorn, and then you finish. When we say, pray, we want you to say, Voba Kiseka, then you start to interpret. And I see the Lord strengthening you, A, B, C, D. Now, for some of us, actually, the key is this. If you want to flow with prophecy, if you receive one word like this, keen in that word, you're going to find that prophecy is a flow, but it is not a flow that happens before you open the tap. Now, some of us don't say anything because we are seeing one word, or we are seeing one picture, or we have one impression. So you have one impression, you're thinking, well, then what? Right now, all I'm seeing is a chikopocha nice. What does the chikopocha nice mean? And you can start. The cup of blessing, which the Lord blesses you with. And I see that the Lord is going to bless you. And there shall even be overflow. Like a cup is pouring out, an overflow. You see? That's skillfulness. You can just pick anything. Let's say we're working with Brother Marino here. Sibra Vaki Selando Sipeka Sayav. And I see fields, green fields, refreshing, refreshing, refreshing. And the Lord is refreshing you. You're entering into a time of refreshing. As the shepherd is bringing you into greener, green pastures, you're being fed. So you're entering into a time where you're going to have a breaking of a word of insight, of understanding, a bringing forth of fresh fodder, not just for yourself, but also for the people under you. And yes, even the shepherd makes you a shepherd. A shepherd. A shepherd.
and more shepherds shall be brought to the green pastures. Okay? I have never given a word like that, for instance. And also, I didn't have all of that before I started. Okay? So, prophecy is a flaw. Can be a flaw. But maybe some of us just fear to start. Now, also, there is experience, of course. There is, you become good because you keep doing it. So when you come to an assembly and we tell you to do that, we are trying to get you to perfect this expression. And I can do that for every single person here. Every single person. Even for things which may be personal. Now for some it may be exhortation, it may be comfort. Maybe someone, you may just touch them and you see maybe their mother. Okay, maybe I've used touch. You can come from tongues. Right? Several pakisa la to fre pakusha la precuse vandeli precuse la. So as you're speaking from tongues there, then you will start the interpretation. Again, the interpretation can start with one phrase, one picture, one word, one impression, one flow. Alternatively, what you can do is this. You can ask a question. Okay? So maybe you're praying over someone or you're prophesying over someone, and then you see four gentlemen. So I can ask Pastor Victor, what do four gentlemen in this time mean to you? Because I'm seeing like four young people. Okay, so then I can ask. They can tell me, okay, we can go in further, you know. And they just lay for see, pecan, they lay. I see that these four young people are attached and related to the work you do. I see like in an office. But four gentlemen. Now, you may find that as I say that, there may be some gentleman he wants to minister to or around him, or he, anything. Does that make sense to you?
Talk to one of them today.
You see? So, four gentlemen in an office means something. So then, if he gives me that information, then we can continue. This was not part of the study, but I just felt maybe I should say that. Now, let me actually just stop here. So, let's just talk about this practice, in this few minutes. Is that fine? Can we just continue? Okay. So there are two ways. So, I can ask a question, okay? As I say, I can ask a question. For some people, just as I touch them, I can have an impression. So, if they tell me to minister to someone, if they tell me to pray for someone, I can first hold their hands. Okay? If there is nothing, I go to tongues. Because tongues are the gateway to the gifts of the Spirit. It's how you enter. Now, the key, if you're going to minister to someone from interpretation of tongues, don't speak tongues too loudly. Speak softly. Okay? That one is a bit personal. I cannot use it on the microphone. Okay? So we can do something like that and all of us can edify one another. You want to give it a try? Right? Now, what is the key? The key is, it is from the Spirit. Remember what you read? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. The same Spirit worketh all those things.